We'll begin the communion class with prayer.
Okay.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the continuation of your will. Bless us to go forward in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we're at the end of chapter 20 in St. John. Verse 27. Jesus had entered the room. He said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, verse 27, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And he said, even though he did all that, he said, "Be not faithless," because it's possible to be faithless even though you see Jesus and his nail-scarred hands and his side. And then Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Ray pointed out that he didn't touch him. He just said that. Verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And that's where we are. We haven't seen him like Thomas did. But we heard about it, and we believe, and we have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And I always, the Lord always gives, I've known him to always give me confirmation as long as I was in faith. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't in faith in the first place, he don't say anything.
I confirm it, he don't believe it.
Huh? And this, that's the least we could do is believe. And that's how we enter the kingdom of God. He paid the price for us. He already laid his life down. And then it only applies to those who believe. From the time we first believe, it applies. And then the Lord said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Now this is part of communion because that's a requirement. We have to believe. We have to believe in everything that the Lord gives us to do as well. When people stop believing in what they're doing in their ministry or anything they're doing, it'll stop working properly. Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now they were going to face some hardship, some pushback from the world. And the Lord did many other signs. Now they were in faith. And while you're in faith, the Lord will do things so that you'll have something to anchor to when the hard times come. So that's one of the key things I learned in following God. That everything that's working, everything that happens, every miracle, every statement, everything that helps fuel your faith, you have to get a good hold on it because you're going to need it. But it gets better no matter what happens. First, sometimes you may not have the courage or confidence to continue, but you have those anchors and you can do it. But as you proceed, you find out that it's God is always with you. He's never going anywhere. He doesn't stop being with you. So all the surprises of the enemy, you don't have to be afraid of sudden fear, things that the enemy do, tactics, things you didn't know that he would do. The Lord will be with you right there to give you wisdom then too. But when you have something to look back on, that part of the relationship, that's a key part of communion. Daniel said that they that do know their God will do exploits. So when the many signs that Jesus did, they came in handy. He didn't do them for nothing. He did them for a reason. But he did it after they were all in faith too. Verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And the life of God, it develops in us. That's his perfect will. That's the will of his, that's his word. His word is, and his will is the same definition. And he is life. He's the light that that lights our heart. And all the things that he say, they is truth and it's life. And Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And you can feel that light working.
Oh yes.
And people can see that light.
Oh yes.
It's light to them.
Uh-huh.
And as we act on it, it operates as salt.
Yes.
Your actions, your finished, when you act on the light,
mm-hmm.
it becomes salt. You become salt. You preserve the world. If Sodom and Gomorrah had 10 men, just 10 men, 10 righteous men,
mm-hmm.
the Lord would not have had to destroy those cities. But they became a threat to the covenant. It was so bad that Lot left broke. He went there wealthy and he left broke. A place like that, you can't. It can affect your wealth. Wherever they're sin, sin is corrosive. He went there wealthy, but he left broke, and his wife looked back, so he left a widow. And the world is very persuasive and corrosive at the same time. You have to, the light in you has to be stronger than the will of the world. He had two daughters that survived, but all his children that were married, they got consumed by Sodom and Gomorrah. And you have to have that resistance to evil. We love God, we trust God. See, the false grace message, it's eroding the resistance to evil, because you are right. You're not going to die. God, you know, God loves you no matter what you do, and you don't. You're not going to hell anyway. So, as long as you believe in Jesus, that's not true. We have to resist. We have to submit our life to God. That's understood in life. You submit your life to God and resist the devil, and then he'll flee. They don't talk about resisting the devil. They just go along to get along. And that's false. And that state is lukewarm. Sin is corrosive and destructive. But in the relationship, there are many elements that we're going to receive from the Lord. We'll do chapter 21 next time. But
you go ahead.
All right.
Ray's not here.
Okay. All right.
If you want to finish.
Chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias.
Mm-hmm.
And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, this is the duration of time between Christ when he died for them and before Pentecost. So Peter decided to go fishing. After he had seen the Lord, so the Lord works with us where we're at. It's okay if he go fishing because Jesus blessed him to catch more fish. It's not that Jesus took away his fishing business. But he wanted to make he. But Peter had a calling on his life that had to be done too. Verse four. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. But
I got a question. Uh-huh. Why did you feel like God kept dealing with Peter when he just could have let Peter just went on, you know? Why did he keep dealing with Peter? Why did, I mean...
Yeah. He had to show, in our calling.
It even amazed Peter now.
Yeah.
Peter was amazed at how God kept dealing with him and kept wanting to be with him when,
yeah.
You want some of your students to answer that? Because I think
they can.
Any student? You may want to answer.
Anybody.
Okay, then you can go on and answer.
The dedication had to be in place for God's perfect will. And he had told him in the first place, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And now Jesus had gone on. In Peter's mind, he probably thought Jesus was going to come back much sooner. He didn't know all the things they were going to do. They weren't really sent until after the Holy Ghost came upon them. But they had to begin to be dedicated to what Jesus wanted them to do. Just like you're catching fish, you're going to catch men. And see, that hadn't really happened to in its full capacity yet. But he said, as soon as they would come to land, they saw the fire, the coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Now they obeyed him, and they came. Mary?
You know, getting back to that question, why did God keep dealing with Simon when we would have just given up on him, just say, hey, you know, hope for a guy like him. He kept dealing with him because who opened up on the day of Pentecost? Who stood up and preached a message?
Peter.
That's when God told Peter that I'm going to make you fishers of men. He gave him that great catch.
Yeah.
And told him that was Peter's great catch that day when he stood up and preached that message and them men and 3,000 like that. That was Peter's great catch for men. Not fish.
Oh, men.
But men. Uh-huh. Peter's purpose was for that day. Yeah. And all of us sit here, we have something purpose.
Yeah.
The reason God called us. He called us with purpose.
Yes.
When he called Peter with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter had a purpose for a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter couldn't see it. All he could see was, hey, I'm a fisherman. I'm defeated. I did this wrong. I did that. The enemy was showing him every picture of what he was. But God knew that he had prayed for him.
Mm-hmm.
And what is Jesus doing for all of us? He's praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the enemy may show us as defeated, you know, you this and that, you know, the worst about us.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jesus is praying for you, baby, you come in.
That's right.
So you connect with that prayer. You just come on through victorious.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a purpose. Everybody sitting here has a purpose.
That's right. And the Lord sees it. He knows it.
He knows it.
He
said, I know the plan.
Mm-hmm. Your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the plan he has for us. But sometimes when we get messed up, we don't know the plan.
Mm-hmm. It'll be revealed as long as we're in faith. But when it's revealed, you have to trust it.
Got to trust it.
And you have to, when people stop believing in what God gives them to do, it's not going to work right. They might stop. They might quit. But if you have enough faith to at least continue, you're going to see what God was talking about.
That's true.
And keep your eyes focused on the prize.
Yeah.
Because, see, the enemy is going to try to get your eyes away from what God has for you. But you focus, like, I know God is going to come through for me. No matter what I see right here, out there, I see a blessing coming. I see deliverance coming. I see healing coming. I see all this stuff coming out there. Forget about what's right in front of your eyes.
Right.
Because that's not it.
That's not it. She's right. The when from the time the Lord first
I was to mention this morning these 153 fish that they caught here. This guy was talking about numbers. I think it was Perry Stone talking about numbers 70 and all these numbers, what they mean. But he said 153, if you figure it out somehow, ever had it means Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's
that's awesome. Casting them caught. No, but he said they caught 100 and something.
No, in this story.
No, what you were talking.
Okay.
Yeah, they caught 153 in this city. But when you when the Lord reveals something, and there will be challenges, but. If you look at him, it's like Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. From the time the Lord called me to the ministry, I had challenges to change my focus. And every attack, every challenge, every battle was intended to change my focus. And I started realizing it. And I said, I'm going to do what God said to. And it worked. That's the strength of communion. If you can believe him, what he said in the first place, that, you know, you're getting to know God, and now you're able to focus your faith where it belongs. And that makes the difference. Now, Jesus saw something in Peter that Peter didn't see. But through these scenarios, through what happened, the way Jesus blessed them with fish and ate with them and talked with them, it helped him stick to the faith that he already had. And then when more was revealed, he worked with it. It was conceived in him. He received it. And he ended up being full of the Holy Ghost and fire and preaching.
Amen.
That's the strength of communion. Let's see. We'll pick up at verse 14 next week.
Amen.
And
you know the scripture 28 you read, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. That's a scripture you can use of a Jehovah. If you happen to come with a Jehovah Witness and you do talk to him, which I don't do, I pray for him. Sometimes on the floor it says to him, he said, my Lord and my God. That shows the deity of Christ. There's hundreds of them in there.
Yeah. I'm going to use it too.
Simple, my Lord and my Christ. You can remember that one. I mean, my Lord and my God.
And he appeared to him after he raised from the dead. He is the Son of God.
Yes. And he says that later, too.
And we're blessed for believing him, though we didn't see it.
Amen.
And I thank God for it. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the work that you're forming in us, the work that you're performing through us. And help us by all means to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name.